Globally, humans are facing massive problems that are widely ignored by governments and the media.
Like personal space invaders.
I've had it with these couples that sit on the same side of the booth.
Yak mouths.
Stupid stick figure bumper stickers.
Almond milk. You cannot milk an almond.
Hi, I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Angie.
We call her Pumps, and we are the hosts of I've Had It. Pumps, tell the listener where they can find us.
Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nailed it.
See you next Tuesday.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw. Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
And
hello,
welcome back to Race Chaser Classique.
Oh, we switched it up.
She switched it up. I knew she was that girl. A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What is yours?
Hello, I'm Willem. You may remember me from season 4 of Race Chaser Classique, where we reviewed the inimitable Watershed season of the fourth installment of Drag Race. So excited to do All Stars.
This is All Stars 1, okay? We are back in the classique saddle. I want to hear those tones going doom, doom, doom.
Dulcet. Give me dulcet tones.
You know, I want Stanley to record doom, 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 doom.
Bitch.
Except with him in quadruplicate doing harmonies.
Oh, Stanley, yes.
All up on our asses.
All up and in the asses, too, maybe. So I thought you meant Stanley by Jasmine Sullivan, that song that Raja used to do. I was like, what? But yeah.
Stanley Steamer. That's what that garment needs.
Yeah. Well, you may want to try it on the wig, too.
It needs to be pressed.
I don't know if we could steam that. We might have to cut it.
Cut it. I'm afraid the garment showed up and it was rumpled.
Rumpled, wrinkled, and soiled. Crumpled.
I'm really excited to be back in the classique saddle, and what a unique season to be covering. This is, of course, RuPaul's Drag Race, All Stars 1.
Mm-hmm. All Stars 1.
I think it sort of existed as, like, I mean, big shows like Project Runway, you know, they do All Stars, and it's like a big thing. So I think they saw this as an opportunity to, like, why can't we do it? We have an amazing crop of queens. Why not utilize them again for another great season of television? So they utilized them. For a very short mini series of a season called All Stars 1.
From what we've heard, this season of All Stars was truncated and teams went into effect because they were only given 6 episodes to do it. Because, you know, it's a fledgling show. And this series, while charming, definitely it puts the girls through it. And you see the anguish on all of their faces. None of them are ready for it. And it honestly did a disservice to to all the girls. But we are going to review it, especially because I'm on this first episode.
Exactly.
I was there.
This is our I was there in Untucked. I was there hiding behind the gold
bar. So this is an especially cruel moment because it the little entries of the girls, they do little bits beforehand where they make them daywalk across the 110 freeway This is across one of the busiest
Boulevard.
No, girl, that's the 110 because they filmed it down. They had hotels downtown for some reason. That is the 110 going over 3rd or 4th Street near the building where they used to shoot Women's Murder Club. Which I was also on with Chad Michaels. He got drowned in a toilet. I was his best friend. I was so sad. Not thank you for that ding. Every show we drop. But the first girls the first girls seem to enter like it's a weird it feels weird. It's like we can tell it's nowhere near the studio.
I disagree with you. I think this was cute. I liked that they did this, like, walking down the street, seeing the passersby sort of, like, gagging and, like, looking. Because, you know, that's part of the fun of drag is everybody, you know, everybody looks at you and it kind of, like, shakes them out of their daily routine. That's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I like it personally when someone says, put on as much makeup as you can and look and try to look your best. And then we're going to walk you outside in Los Angeles in June. Why don't you just run across the highway? Do that. Yeah. And don't sweat. Then we're going to go straight to set. You have your touch-up kit, right? That's what this was.
That is what it is. But everybody gets their little entrance. And the first person to walk into the workroom this season is Pandora motherfucking
Elizabeth Fox.
Mm-hmm. Pandora Elizabeth Fox. We love Pandora so very much. She says, did somebody order a hooker?
To a room of crickets.
And then she's like, oh, I'm here by myself.
Literally no one ordered the hooker. Wait, I think it's Pandora Olivia Box, not Elizabeth. Sorry, my bad.
Okay. Oh, my bad.
Next up, we have Latrice Royale, and she says, ow, like that. And, This seems to be creating a trend. It's the season 2 Miss Congeniality Pandora and the season 3-4 Miss Congeniality Latrice Royale.
Yes, a very congenial entrances. They both look amazing. I mean, I have to say. And Latrice points out that she feels like Pandora really stepped it up, which, I mean, she definitely.
Pandora looks beautiful.
Yes, she definitely had stepped it up a lot. Next. Yara Sofia comes in saying, yes, mommy, las perras in the house.
Mm-hmm. And she's the completion of the congenialities, right? Because she's season 3 Miss Congeniality. I think, was Nina Miss Congeniality season 1 or was it Angina? It's Angina, I think. Right?
We can have our fact checkers run that.
Okay, will you run that down to the basement and get them on that, please?
We always run full fact checking as we do our podcast because it is our due diligence. We have a team of remote fact checkers.
We're actually using Dua Lipa diligence now.
Dua Lipa diligence. Yeah. Yara Sofia looks great. And something I love about Yara Sofia is that she has such a signature recognizable look that is nobody else, and you know it's her.
Yeah. Honestly, she's the only person who could walk into a Pep Boys and walk out with an outfit, I think. You know? She would just open a car hood, rip some shit out. Yeah, she could put anything on her body and it works. Do you remember when she wore those, 57 wigs and did Cousin It and then emerges like this golden goddess to that Go-Go's mix.
Yes.
Like Yara Sofia is fucking drag.
She is.
So and I'm thrilled to see her here.
She's a fascinating mix of like really wacko and campy and like high drag, but also like devastatingly sexy at the same time.
Yeah.
Like she can do all of that.
Yeah, she's got everything. Chanel from
Las Vegas.
Looking around here, you think she's wearing a fucking lot.
Well, yeah, Chanel walks in and she's wearing everything.
She said, oh, we were allowed to bring bags, I just wore it all.
She looks great though.
She does.
The woman is drag. She's high drag.
Woman in drag.
The drag was high, the drag was deep, the drag was long.
sounds like a weekend.
Raven walks in, and this is sort of the other flip side of the coin. Whereas Chanel is wearing sort of everything, Raven is wearing something.
It looks like a cute little cocktail dress, you know, that you'd go to the room, and then once you get the money, you take it off, and then you put it back on when the hour's over. That's the dress that Raven's wearing.
Look, Raven has always been the ready-to-wear girl, and she's maintaining that. She's wearing very simple hair, very simple dress, but she looks fucking amazing. So yeah, you can't take that from her.
But bitch, the jig is up, bitches! Alexis Mateo storms in looking like an extra from the Backstreet Boys video where they all had the monsters. Do you remember that? What was that? Everybody?
Where they were like puppets?
Yeah, no, that was NSYNC. It's going to be me. This is everybody. The Backstreet Boys are all different monsters. Alexis looks like the one that JC was like fucking with. Or no. I don't remember which one. But anyway, she says, look at all y'all cross-dressers looking cute.
She looks gray. She'll always give you drag.
It's weird to think that this was 10 years ago, too, because Chad Michaels comes in next, and he looks exactly the same.
She does.
Exactly.
She looks lovely in this, like, cat suit and the space earring that also has Bluetooth capability, which at the time was still in beta. So
what a marvel.
She was really crushing it.
She needs to watch out for that G5, though. Is that what it's called?
5G?
5G.
5G, that's
honey,
it. That's
the five H's. The five H's.
Happy Hunger Game, hunty. Hoo-woof. Yeah, Chad's still pushing through this Hunger Game narrative that she tried on season 4. And, work it, Effie Trinket.
She's committing to the Hunger Games. I'm guessing the Hunger Games was a hit film at the time. Okay. We're going to have the fact checkers run it. Stay up to date with our fact checkers who are working overtime via satellite.
And these fact checkers do not work on Audible, so I don't know why I can hear them. Check the facts. Oh, I hate them. Next, we have Manila Luzon.
Checkers.
Get anything right or on the air. Manila Luzon walks in, and honestly, a threat to everybody because she somehow manages to put an extra hand on her head, which is smoking. And she tells the girls, see, this is how you do drag, girls. And from the get-go, we automatically get that Manila is playing the same character as before. Beautiful. Yeah. Got it together and there to agitate the other girls for being so damn good. Because Alexis is immediately like, Manila hasn't changed a bit.
Yes. And she says, Manila's still annoying, girl. Which, but that's Manila's brand. She's capitalized upon that. And Manila looks fantastic. And I can't say it enough. I love anytime Manila Luzon does drag, but this is one of my favorite looks of hers. There's so many details and like levels of interest to get into in this look. And that's why she said it. She said, this is how you do drag.
Yeah.
It's
honestly
fashion. It's sexy. It's campy. It's funny. I love it.
Now, there's a level of disinterest that comes when Mimi walks in. Many of the girls are gooped and gutted would be the word, I think, maybe. Mimi comes in and says, life is like a paycheck. A generous figure is always nice, which is the exact line from Bigger is Better, a show called When Pigs Fly. And like it's a awesome song that I bet Mimi does a lot. But like she looks great. She lost a bunch of weight.
Are you suggesting that a drag queen borrowed something from somewhere else and made it her own? To my knowledge, I've never heard of that happening. We're going to have the fact checkers.
Oh God, they're busy today. They're going to drown in facts.
Sarah, she's the intern. I think she's going to crack under the pressure.
Oh my God. Eric, you can't check facts on a fax machine. That's not what that's for.
Oh my God.
That's a fax machine.
You are not a fax checker. You are a fact checker.
Girl, she was trying to plug Wi-Fi into the wall for the fax. She don't know. She doesn't know.
Oh my God.
When Mimi comes into the workroom, we hear Latrice scream, Liza Minnelli, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And
the girls are shook. They're surprised to see her. But you always want somebody on All Stars who, like, they're the last person in the world you were expecting to see. I think it makes it more exciting.
Yeah. Raven literally says, well, someone's got to go home first. So.
So rude.
Well, I mean, it's true. Someone does have to go home first.
Someone does, unfortunately.
And they don't like each other, so that's fine. But, we do have a wonderful season one girl, OG, Miss Nina Flowers. She's about to pump in. She says,
Loca! 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 Loca!
They were using a soundboard, clearly.
Honestly, I don't know where they got that idea.
That's hot goss.
They copied and pasted the same Loca over and over again just to be like, this is her catchphrase, you guys.
Well, Jujubee doesn't know what to say when she walks in because she don't say nothing. She just like comes in, makes sure her wrap dress is okay, and then punches in at Wet Seal, and then she goes and says hi to the girls.
I'm really impressed she took time off from managing Wet Seal to come and do this television appearance. She's
honestly
a busy woman.
She has her application in at Liz Claiborne for the manager position, but like the assistant manager, Wet Seal, is just so much better because she gets to like stay up to date on trends, and like they do a buy one, get one on accessories every now and then. So Jujubee is, I'm glad she took the time off to come here. Including.
She looks great.
Yeah.
Again, you're not really looking to Jujubee for an over the top fashion moment. You're looking to her for her like her personality and her humor.
Yeah. She always looks great. It's always full package.
Yeah.
Tammy Brown pumps in and she says Tootsie Loo.
the birth of Tootsie Loo.
Girl, I'm glad she didn't bring that dead body she found in the ditch.
Oh, do you want to hear about the time I saw
a dead body? Honestly, I wish they would have made them do a talent show for this one, too, because...
Yeah, that would have been neat.
Yeah, it would have been cool to see these girls do what everybody else did, because comparing this season to the other All-Stars is kind of like a wash, I think. It's a standalone type of production, so that's what we were going to do journalistically.
But could you imagine if this was like a modern-day All-Stars? Like, it's such a great cast.
Yeah.
That, like, if they did a talent show, Tammy Brown doing a fucking talent show, are you, like, what, I would like to fantasize about what that would look like while we go on this break.
Well, okay, Chanel's going to lead us out from the break. She's going to juggle a Ming vase, an ice cream cone on fire, and little Kenya Michaels.
While wearing a beast costume.
Beast! Break!
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online.
Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms.
We all know everything is online these days, and it's important for your business to stand out. And that's why Squarespace is really important. We use it for Drag Queen of the Year, and it was great success. Great success.
I was marveling at the website's capabilities and the ease of use for each customer.
Well, the thing is, it was really easy, and it ended up looking really nice. So I love Squarespace.
People say the same thing about me. So start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. You can choose from professionally curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, whatever kind of business y'all ladies are in. Optimized for every device.
And then you can easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools. So you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want.
And Squarespace makes it super easy to sell your products on an online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need.
Plus, you can connect major social and multimedia accounts to your website in just a few clicks, as icons, direct links, or embedded feeds. And sellers can also sync their product catalog directly with Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Google to reach more customers and reduce the steps for a purchase.
They've really thought of it all.
You know they have. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/drag.
Drag.
To save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
That's squarespace.com/drag to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Mama, Okay, so what they do is they send us some credits so we can go on their website and buy some items. I bought this pullover, like this sweatshirt, and now it's like my favorite thing to wear. I literally wear it all the time. It's like so cute.
I've been wearing Quince at least a couple times a week because these basics are so comfortable and I love them. I was just like, that goes with everything. Let's wear it.
Exactly.
There's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater from $50, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14 karat gold jewelry.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Now, Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices within reach. And Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/drag.
Drag.
For free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/drag and get free shipping and 365-day return.
quince.com/drag.
Drag.
I don't know much about pods and things.
I just talk about Classique and All Stars and things. So the girls
and
are
things. Speaking of things, though, if you haven't refreshed the podcast artwork today, I implore you, do it now. We've really are outdone ourselves.
It's so weird because I was getting something off of a high cabinet, some low fructose corn syrup, and I smelled something and I was like, how did my pussy get all the way up there? We stepped it up. We stepped it up so hard. I honestly needed to get an extension for my ladder just to get my pussy back down.
Yeah, exactly.
I called the fire department. They're like, we can't deal with that pussy. And I was like, okay.
We followed the style prompt of All Stars 1 for their promos, which was neon colors.
Neon Mortal Kombat was what they originally told me on the phone. They said like neon video game, all that.
I love that.
Yeah.
So definitely check that out. We get a video message from RuPaul. I'm not going to say what she says at the beginning of the video.
Girl, you've got pejorative.
She says, well, hello, dollies.
Dollies.
It's so nice to have you back where you belong. You don't have to be a star to be in my show. You need to be an all-star. And as a great drag queen once said, if at first you don't succeed, just become a legend, hunty. So hold on to your wigs. You may think you know how to play this game, but girl, you don't know the half of it.
Squeak, squawk. Oh, what a surprise! Kill surprise!
RuPaul comes into the workroom, and you know he tells the normal spiel where he says this is the prize package, etc. Mac is doing the makeup sponsor this year, which is exciting. They win a one of a kind trip. Courtesy of Alan Chuck Don't Travel. That's vague and misleading, but we're gonna get you're
shocked.
You get a one of a kind trip. This trip, there's nothing else like it.
How much makeup do you get? I don't know, sickening?
A sickening fanny pack.
So
a sickening pencil sharpener, courtesy of Mac Cosmetics.
A sickening amount of sampled out pigment.
There will be a cash prize, and it'll be one of a kind, I'm telling you.
The cash prize is actually one of the only concrete things that they offer. It's $100,000, which Raven notes is $80,000 more than Tyra won in season 2. So they're competing for some big bucks now. And RuPaul tells them none of them won on their own seasons and they need to reverse that shame and strut their stuff into the Drag Race Hall of Fame, which is, I think, a nice way to just, you know, put all the girls in their place, say all of you lost. good luck. We're going to handicap you more. Just wait for it. But I wanted to remind you first that we're in charge and you lost our show once. And this is why you're back here. You're here for us. You're not here for you.
This is a, yes, but this gag, you can tell it really shattered a lot of the girls because from what I've heard, they did not know that it was going to be teams when they were going in there. Mm-hmm. So they prepared their own package. And then at this very moment, just for the purpose of getting a few face cracks on camera, RuPaul tells them they will be playing in teams of two for the whole season. And if one of you goes home, both of you goes home. But still, your entire journey to the end is going to be latched to the hip with someone else. So that's significant.
The pit crew comes out and they have a big box.
A box!
A box!
A box!
Hi, kids! The pit crew has their little box and they got paddles with all the girls, like little Stacey Lane Matthew Church fans. And how this goes is the girls have to choose a partner. And if their prospective partner also chooses them, they get matched up. So in round one, we get a couple of matches right away. We get Raven and Jujubee. They match up. Two girls from season two. Mm-hmm. Chad Michaels and Chanel match up immediately. Two, you know, decades-long partners at Dreamgirls. And Tammy Brown and Nina Flowers match up. And they were both season one, too. So I understand all those connections. All those connections make sense. I think Latrice chose Chanel or Chad first. But then on the second round, she chose Manila. And Manila chose her both times and made sure to Manila and said, well, it took two times and you should hear me. Walking over, dragging Latrice.
Yes. And then finally, Yara and Alexis match one another as well. Mm-hmm. Which, do we know who they chose? I don't remember how they didn't match on the first round.
Yeah, I don't know who chose who.
Trevor, could you? Yes. Trevor, we're not paying you to sit around on your phone. Okay?
We're not paying you at all, actually. This was for exposure, Trevor.
Could you
run down? So take your pants off. No.
For God's sake, could you run down to the Drag Race Hall of Fame library, please?
And get me the nail glue.
And finally, the last two are Pandora Box and Mimi I'm First, who end up on a team together, much to Pandora's chagrin.
Girl, Pandora won't make eye contact. Mimi comes over, tries to hug her, and Pandora crosses her arms in the front and then puts her hands, interlaces her fingers crossways, doing the, ooh, I'm squeezing by, that type of thing. She does not want to be next to Mimi. She does not want to look at Mimi. She is seeing all of her dreams piddle down her legs right now. And I really feel for the girl but I'm happy because she looks beautiful. This nooch face that she gives is just gorgeous. Like, she's beat. She looks wonderful. But all the queens are kind of like, what the fuck?
And, they're shooketh.
And Mimi knows that nobody wants to be with her, obviously, because nobody picked her, literally. So I'm not saying it like nobody likes her. I'm saying factually nobody wanted to be with her for this challenge. And she's kind of like asking Pandora, do you feel guilty for not picking me? And at that point, I was like, Mimi, that's why people don't pick you. You say shit like that. Like, your first impression is like, you know she's upset. So like, why would you say, are you upset? Or do you feel guilty for not picking me? It's like, Mimi, you know exactly what the tea is. Stop. Anyway, this maxi challenge sounds fun.
Yes. Okay. So the maxi challenge, as you may know, the dolls, they have to produce their own high fashion photo spread with two different setups. The first one is half baked, mid transformation, no wig.
And the second one is opposites attract, which is a wet and wild photo shoot that shows what makes your duo dynamic. And you'll be doing each other's makeup.
You guys, this is a lot. This is a lot to throw at these girls on day one. I think.
Oh, and this isn't even all of it too, because the girls are going to be wet. Like, do they tell them? This is a lot.
It's
like, they're
disrespectful.
Honestly,
it's too much.
You're going to get the girls' pads wet on the first day. Like, girl, Latrice dealt with this in season four. After the wet t-shirt challenge, she was squishing and squashing and leaving puddles on the runway because her pads were still soaked.
Yeah.
Like,
this,
I don't know.
You know, I understand that you want it to be exciting and dynamic and you want people to be out of their element, but you've just said, okay, your solo package that you just planned is basically a pile of garbage and you have to throw it out the window.
Yeah.
And you don't even get to do your own makeup. No. We're going to spray water on you. Black water, not even clear water.
And you're going to do something that RuPaul herself doesn't ever want to do, which is be photographed midway. And most queens aren't keen on it. So having that thrown at you too, it's just
like that. That's cool.
I mean, it's one of those things where
our heads are on the chopping block.
I just don't think that was a lot. That was
editorial pictures are meant to be misunderstood.
I some of the choices I didn't understand 100%. Rue is trying to get a feel for some of the girls on the walkthrough too, and
yeah,
she literally asked Chad and Chanel, are you too in sync to be partners? It's like she had to find something to like go with a negative flair for them, and that would be the only thing. Are you too in sync though, really?
We're demanding that you be in sync, but you know what? You're just too in sync.
Yeah, what if you do O-Town?
We're demanding that you be good at drag, but unfortunately, you're too good at drag, and that's working against you. So
yeah,
it's very rough to be Chad Michaels in this room, just being told, you're just too perfect. I don't know. Is there some way you could just not be as good at drag?
I don't get the chopping block reference for their neck makeup, but I do think that if they would have been like cutting each other's necks open to like dab some blood on their lips or something to like help finish the makeup, I thought that would have been cool. But like, otherwise it's just like, all I see is messy man right now.
At least they were trying something.
Yeah. And good for them.
I actually really liked Pandora and Mimi's half baked picture.
I mean, I just felt a lot of sadness, but I did like it.
There is a constant sadness around her.
And honestly, when Rue says, well, why do you think the universe paired you two together to Mimi and Pandora? Pandora gets a joke in at least and says, well, I'm a glutton for punishment. And Rue laughs because she's like, oh, this is so funny. Look what I did to you. Like, Rue doesn't give a fuck, you know? And like, honestly, if I was Pandora at that moment, I would have been like, why did you put me with her? You know, everybody hates her. I would have said that. Like, because I was supposed to be there, and I'm glad I wasn't, because if I was, I would have been like, do you guys have my valet tag? Because I'm out.
Right. And
this is hokey pokey, and nobody would have picked me. So I would have been with Mimi.
Yes, you would have. But this is the thing. You're always going into an experience like Drag Race, you're always going to be faced with things that you're not expecting. So it really comes down to how well do you adapt to unfamiliar and uncomfortable scenarios. We're seeing the stages that Pandora is going through. And it's easy for us as viewers of the show to be like, she gave up too quickly. I wouldn't have done that. And it's easy for me to say, I would have just been like, okay, well, I got teamed up with someone that I didn't want to get teamed up with. I'm not exactly happy about it, but I'm going to make the best of it. It's easy for me to say that because I'm not in there. But she's dealing with, she's spiraling and you can see it. And it's unfortunate because it kind of taints her entire experience on this episode.
Well, I mean, there's always All-Stars 6 or 7. Who knows?
Tee, that would be amazing.
They bring back girls before, and if anybody deserves a chance, it's Pandora after what they did to her on the first time. They did that to her.
Yeah.
They did that to her. They caused her reputation to suffer with the whole dowdy personality thing, because this episode made her look like a fucking stick in the mud, you know? And I feel for the girl. Jujubee and Raven have such an easy way to work with each other. They're basically the opposite of Mimi and Pandora. Their photo shoot goes great. They keep it simple. One of them's naked, one of them's got clothes. The magnifying glasses are great. Yeah. Raven and Jujubee are both excellent painters. So like,
yeah,
I'd want to be on Team Rujubee for sure.
I'd be like, oh, Raven, can you do my makeup for the next challenge too?
Oh, is that what Rue said?
Shut the fuck up. For the half-baked photo, the photographer's name is Brandon Showers.
Is he in a deep V? They love to get the photographer's chesticles out all the time.
They do, yes. But Brandon Showers, I've heard of that.
Oh, I know his brother Brendan Hales.
Gail Weathers is their aunt.
Chad and Chanel are doing the most. Literally, they have 100 ideas. They're like hooker up. Like when Chad says he's a downtown girl to RuPaul, it's just like, downtown where? You consider downtown Central Park, Chad. Like, you are not a downtown girl, and that's so cute that you think you are, but you are uptown girl.
Well, but it's a concept that could have worked for this. I wasn't buying it. Like, I was buying Chanel as, like, uptown, like, opulent woman going shopping. Like, I buy that. Mm-hmm. But when Chad tries to be, like, I'm just a downtown, like, grunge queen, it's hard to buy that because she's so not.
Yeah, in the least. Yeah. Yara and Alexis get their shot really quickly. Yara says, yeah, it's quick. I'm a model. And I actually like their second shot, but not their first one. Their first one felt like a Black Swan directive gone wrong.
Or like when Nicole Kidman went on the red carpet with the Cook bars still on that caught on the camera.
Oh, yeah, that HD powder.
Yeah.
HD will get a girl.
HD, it'll get you every
HD
time.
Stands for ha, dummy.
Oh. Why don't we go ahead and take a break and we'll continue discussing the ladies' performance during this challenge.
I would love that.
Okay, but
do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meal. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie.
Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long or night.
What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
These Factor meals tasted like loving from Mother's Kitchen. It was so delicious and tasted home cooked.
It's true. These meals taste super fresh. The food is so good and so easy to prepare. I love it. I can't get enough. Factor me up, honey.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. And if you're looking for gourmet meals, try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Meals badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/drag50 and use code
DRAG50
to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code DRAG50 at factormeals.com/DRAG50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active.
Okay, we are back.
Ooh, back again. Some of these things in All Stars 1 don't age well. And there is something that the photographer says to Latrice where he's like, be more gangster with that drill. And it's just one of those things where it's like the video message where it was a different time. Some of it has its creaks and cracks for sure here. Mimi and Pandora also have creaks and cracks.
Girl, it's a chasm.
Girl.
Well,
they're all in it.
Their chemistry is really way off. Mimi is doing too much, and Pandora's just trying to, like, stay afloat and make the best of it, even though she's, like, obviously irked by Mimi. And then Mimi fucking grabs Pandora and makes out with her at the end of the half-baked shoot. They went for it. They said, we're going to try something. So I actually commend
They
Pandora
tried it, yeah.
She tried it.
She tried it. Nina and Tammy do this, like, naughty and nice thing, but... girl, if you're on All Stars and you can't keep your wig on for a mini challenge, Tammy. I got a tidbit for her. And it involves some bobby pins.
Right. Chanel and Chad, like we said, uptown, downtown.
Uptown,
pink
uptowner. Yeah, the outfit too doesn't give me much to revel in for Chad. Like it's just like I don't know. It feels like a bottle girl at a place that's really cold, so she has to wear leggings.
Yeah. The bottle girl at a place that's very
like
cold.
A bottle girl in Winnipeg or something.
No. Oh, my God.
Shout out to Glowfest.
I thought Juju and Raven were so fierce. And how bold of Raven to just bear all day one and say, I'm going gorge, I'm going totally nude. And Juju, we looked amazing as the fully dressed one. I really thought this was a successful moment.
I mean, there's certain girls that are not afraid of anything. And I think Raven is one of those.
Yeah.
She gets naked on, I got naked on TV, you got naked on TV. I don't care, you know?
Yeah.
Pandora and Mimi are dressed, and they're doing this homemaker versus hooker thing, and I'd give one of them the hook.
They're playing with an iron. They at least have a concept.
I love
say
Pandora's
that.
Hair. Pandora's hair looks great too, and the silhouette is there.
Hooker and homemaker is like a great dichotomy, and it had the potential to be really great.
I mean, it could have been sickening if they both did like this Catherine Deneuve Belle de Jour look, or like a pretty woman hook, like something like Mimi dressed as Julia Roberts would have been really funny.
Right.
That kind of thing. I don't know. It was fine. Everybody's doing the best that they can with it. Yara and Alexis is my favorite one because they flip their own looks, and it's just such a mind fuck because you're like, oh,
who's
wow.
Who? Yeah.
Yeah. And they look so great. I don't understand how this doesn't fit the directive because they're literally the opposites of each other.
Yeah.
But everybody talks about them like they're confused. Now, their first photo setup, I don't think was following the directive, but this one was great.
Yeah. And we'll talk about Santino's choice words when we get to the critiques. But yeah, I thought this was fierce. And they both have a signature look where they can imitate one another. So, like, why not? I thought it was cool. And Latrice and Manila are giving us classy versus trashy.
I mean, basically all of these things are their own kind of classy versus trashy other than Alexis and Yara. They're all the same thing. It's like a uptown, right. Downtown. Well, no, I'm wrong. Dressed or undressed, that is not the same thing. But
right.
I...
Yeah, you're right. They do sort of all lean into that dichotomy.
Four out of six of them, which is a large chunk.
Four out of six ain't bad.
Speaking of large chunk, this rain gets Latrice good. It gets
Black
her,
rain!
Her
laugh.
Black rain! It gets her, but she soldiers through. And RuPaul's just laughing. Oh, look at these girls are all wet. It's so
how
wonderful.
Delightfully camp is this?
Oh, look at the wet queens. Oh, what's that smell? Ah, wet queen. Is that a wet Renee of Paris I smell?
Renee of Paris. La Femme shoes.
None of the iron fists fit. So the next day the girls are talking about how wild it is that they're going to be judged as pairs for the whole season. And the girls are giving their opinions on everybody else's photo shoots. And Alexis says that Raven was more porn than high fashion when she got naked. Okay. But I don't know why a Backstreet Boys dancer has an opinion on clothing, know?
Alexis will always provide some a shady point of view, and I'm
always
grateful for that.
Girl, we love a Florida girl.
Yes. Mimi and Pandora are still going through it. I would have loved to have seen Pandora show up the next day just with like a new resolve and just like, you know what? I fucking hate you, but bitch, let's move forward. That's a TV dynamic that could have really been fun to watch and really work.
Yeah. But, you know, Pandora was definitely in a different space than any of us could have ever predicted. And I understand if, like, once you feel that gut punch, not wanting to play the game. And honestly, she's right. She knew that Mimi's past actions would be held against her in this challenge, which is exactly what happens in the Untucked bar. And
yeah,
Pandora is on that team, so she can't help but be affected. So I understand 100% everything Pandora did on this episode up until the end. And we'll get to that later. But Pandora literally says she doesn't want to be associated with Mimi's past actions on the show. And I can't think of anybody, if given the choice, would want that. You know, nobody would want that. And Pandora has to deal with it, and it sucks. But at least we have Tammy Brown providing light commentary.
Girl, Tammy Brown's just, she's stream of consciousness Andy Kaufmaning up this fucking workroom. She says, Latrice, if you want to sit around naked and eat shrimp, that's your business.
And she also tells them she's from planet 15, where they have two moons.
I cured my grandmother. Now on the main stage, this is, I think, one of my favorite RuPaul looks ever.
Yeah.
The yellow hair, the yellow and pink dress, the yellow and pink eye makeup, the flowers in the hair. This is drag excellence and a deep salute to me.
Yeah. The judges also look nice. Michelle's there. Ross makes his first appearance as a permanent judge for All Stars.
Yeah.
After his scintillating snatch game judging, which, you know, he was a great judge. He gave great feedback. So I'm glad he got a little promotion for this. Rachel Hunter is also there, who is a model from Australia and was Rod Stewart's second or third wife. And she's pretty. She has no place there. This runway is fabulous, though. It's the Scream Team. Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah, the runway is Dream Team debut and looks that Scream Team.
AKA, unpack your suitcases and see what you have that vaguely matches.
Right. And
if it doesn't match, put your pictures on it.
First up, Yara and Alexis, who actually look great, and they do this bit where they put the pictures of themselves on it. And it's like red and black and black and red. This works. Yeah. This works.
I mean, it's giving me two girls going out and, like, you know, Night at the Roxburying.
Trying to get guys.
Yeah.
I just want to party and get guys.
Did you? My vape keeps walking away. Okay.
Let's go get guys.
So your Alexis pumps it out. Latrilla, which is Manila and Latrice, come out. And yes, this is a prime example of working with what you had in your suitcase and trying to make it work. You see Manila and Latrice, actually you see Manila, I think, sewing Latrice's circle headband out of the red sequin fabric.
Yes.
Because I remember when we were in Untucked, I was like, wait, are you a Teletubby? Why don't you have an iPad? And Manila was like, oh, this is mine. I brought this. And I was like, oh. Because as soon as I was in Untucked and I realized it was Teams, I was so glad I wasn't there. Because they had already told me basically on the phone, and don't worry, there's always next year, XYZ. So I assumed I would be back for All Stars 2.
Yeah.
So this was fine, me skipping out on this. What did you think of Mandora?
Well, I mean, I don't mind this. It's drag. I agree with the problem of putting that green fur right in the center of Mimi's like body, which is a perplexing choice that doesn't make literally any sense to me. But I thought they matched very well, and it was very drag. If they would have done something different with that fun fur around the fucking belly, it could have been really nice.
Pandora's dress was 6 inches too short. There was way too much green by the neck, I think, in the trim, but her shape was lovely. I also, you can hear RuPaul exclaim when the confetti cannon goes off, and it just feels like, you know, it's just Mimi.
A stunt for the sake of stunt.
Yeah.
RuPaul does not like projectile cannons shooting toward her, nor do people trying to run a television show probably appreciate that. She most likely snuck it in and nobody knew about it. And yeah, it was a genuine shock.
Yeah, you can hear RuPaul go, oh.
Someone's getting fired. Ooh.
Oh, no, it's okay. She's going home anyway in a couple minutes. You can let her go. Let her go. It's Mimi. That's what RuPaul basically said. Team Rujubi is pumping out in some little peekaboo burlesque outfits, and they look great.
Yes, they look like the girls from the movie Burlesque doing Dr.
Give
Long
it up,
John
give it up, let
something.
Me see you burlesque.
Right, yeah. They look great, and when all else fails and you need to match, do black
lingerie.
And white and just do leotard undergarments and be showgirls.
That's what Latrice and I did when we had to match. Do you know who sings that song in Burlesque, by the way? Megan Mullally.
Dr. Long John?
That's Megan Mullally, yeah.
That's so funny.
Isn't that random?
And amazing.
What did you think of Team Brown Flowers? I thought they looked very chic, Nina and Tammy.
I understand what they're saying because Nina Flowers is trying to be a team player and trying to sort of match the aesthetic of Tammy Brown, who has a very strong, like, old Hollywood sort of aesthetic. But Nina Flowers, we think of her as like extreme sort of mohawks, crow
techno
feathers.
Angel goddess. Coming. Yeah.
Right. And that was not going to work in any way with Tammy Brown's like look. And Tammy Brown couldn't adopt that sort of futuristic, it's sort of like unnameable quality that is Nina Flowers. So Nina Fucked Flowers, it. Because the directive was teams. You do a team look. Nina Flowers did sort of an 80s sort of dynasty kind of old Hollywood look. And
Nina can do normal. I mean, her girl group challenge, she was like one of the prettiest ones that season. It feels a little safe for the first runway. And Chanel literally come out with all of Priscilla's from Oxford Street on them. Everything from Priscilla. Everything.
They both look fierce. But this was an example of them not matching, but they both look like themselves and they both look amazing.
Oh, they said they were birds. Chanel's one of those birds with spikes on it, I guess.
Girl!
They both had feathers. You know, they saw the correlation. Everyone else may not have, but they did, and they're selling it. And you would think that they're like, they should be birds of prey because they should pray that they're not going to be the bottom.
Chanel looks like Shao Kahn from fucking Mortal Kombat.
Girl, Chanel did the most. Chanel looked like she went into Pier 1 and said, I'll take it.
Well, why don't we take a break and then we'll get into the deep internal discussions about these looks. The new Stars series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app.
You
know her as a beauty icon, a fashionista, a finalist from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 3, and a fan favorite. But mostly, you know her as the girl with black hair that has a blonde streak. So please welcome to a segment that we like to call
Manila's Musings.
First of all, I want to know why the fuck y'all up in full high-end drag girls.
Like, this is how we podcast. I don't know what you do on the chop, but this is how we podcast.
We always are in drag every episode.
I mean, Alaska doesn't have a nail on right now, but that's only because Trevor, our intern, smoked all the nail glue.
Why don't you check it, honey? This is, I put on a nail that is smaller than my actual nail. So I appreciate you keeping the facts straight, because we care mostly, first and foremost, about true facts on this podcast.
But also our fax machine is broken.
Girl. So we're so glad to have you here for this segment that's called Manila's Musings.
Yeah, I mean, here I am. Being myself, being amused.
You are.
Girl, we're bemused right now by the fact that you took the time out to come here on your birthday and help provide us with excellent award-winning content. We would like to take you back to the summer of 2012, if we may, to All Stars 1, where you were a force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm.
What was your life like? What was going on in your life when you got the call, when this thing called All Stars 1 came about?
Did the call come from inside the house? Did you know you were doing it when you were doing Drag U that season already, or was it a surprise?
Well, we had been filming Drag U already.
Yes.
So like when the calls were when we start, first of all, I guess this is like kind of weird because like, you know, at that point, there was no such thing as All Stars. Like the idea wasn't even there. It was just kind of like this rumor. You know, we were seeing that like other reality TV shows were doing like All Star season. So there was always that idea that like, oh, maybe there could be another way. But up until that point, All Stars was getting cast on RuPaul's Drag U. You know, like that's when you knew that you were in All Stars, is because like your production thought that you were good enough to bring back for some more TV. So I guess that's kind of like the place where I was in my head when I first got the call, for sure.
Ooh, tell me about the tops. Tell me there's tops.
Well, the winners are Team Latrilla.
Two tops.
And unfortunately, the bottom teams are Team Shad and Team Mandora. The name Mandora is also a really unfortunate name to be given. I mean, it's kind of like, it's like, but what is the other option?
What's other?
Box, I'm first.
Pee-me on box. Pee on the unbox.
Pee-me.
Well, the good thing is we don't have to worry about it for long, because you'll see this episode. Some of the critiques are stupid. Michelle saying, "And who chose this green? Blah blah blah." Like, Michelle, fuck off. We don't care that you don't like green. It's cute that the show can play with it, but like, really, honestly, fuck off, Michelle. Yarlexis get red for like, you know, their photos not working, even though I think some of them are great. Brown Flowers gets a all-around good review-ish. But Tammy's just given so much charisma on the runway that the judges are scared Nina is getting overshadowed, which is like, we're scared you're getting overshadowed. It's the first episode. It's like, shut the fuck up. Let the girls breathe. You threw like 10 million hurricanes at them at once, and now they're out here. This is probably the first minute where they're not doing something, where they get to stand still in days on this runway, honestly. And some of them are getting dragged for it, including Shad. And I never heard a critique like this about Shad during his season at all.
Yeah, they went in really harshly on Shad.
Now, the girls with this lip sync thing, they explain the rules. Mm-hmm. And each team has to choose one queen to lip sync on behalf of the team. And if they're in the bottom and lose, both of those queens go home.
Yes.
The good thing is
the magic button of doom and desire.
Tell us about it. Hit it.
If during the first minute you think your teammate is Booger Boots, you can press the button, and you can only press the button once throughout the whole season, so don't get crazy with the button usage, ladies. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever touches the fucking button except for Yarlexis that one time. But we will get to that. The lip sync song is Opposites Attract by Paula Abdul. We could have gotten anyone for this lip sync song. Janet Jackson, Paula Abdul.
Here's one problem I have with this. It's called Opposites Attract, and at one point Chad says, this is not a duet. Mimi's kind of getting in my spot. It is a duet, actually, with someone named Scat Cat. If I was doing this lip sync, I would have... Here's the part where I think Pandora finally does give up, because she could have pressed that button and tried. I know she saw the writing on the wall. I know she knew that Mimi was going home. Mimi already tried to leave at that point. So Pandora knows production is not having it with Mimi again. So yeah. I would have, if I was Pandora, I would have tapped that button, and then I literally would have shit on the stage and then gone meow and be like, I'm Scat Cat, you know? Like, I would have found a way to make it work. Pandora, unfortunately, did not find any way to make it work. And I understand why she wouldn't have, too, because everything she would have done would have been for naught, you know?
Well, yeah. Yeah. She could have done it just to be like, well, I'm probably going home anyway right now, so why not just, like, press this fucking button and make something happen? But she didn't. It was a very sad moment.
Are you talking about Mimi's reveal? The sad moment.
Manila sums it up. She's like, here it comes, here it comes. Oh, that's it.
Oh, what you wore in Untucked. How fun.
A simple polka dot dress is not giving me drag.
And you can tell how plucked that Mimi is, because she does not do the exit interview for where she takes the picture off the wall. It's just Pandora saying, if I was alone, I would have won.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful speculation. She should be a gold miner.
Speculator, speculum.
Speculum. Ooh, cold speculum.
Speculos.
This, ooh, cookie
eating
butter.
Eating speculos while using a speculum.
Cookie butter on my pussy! If you think that some of the other things in this episode didn't age well, here's another one. Response to Tranity. I don't think that is a song that's heavily into rotation anymore on the Ruco Empire.
And RuPaul says, with great power comes great responsitranity at the end. She was pushing the single responsitranity at the time.
Sexy drag queen.
Sexy, sexy.
That's one of the other things I feel like in this challenge, when Michelle asked Mimi, like, do you feel sexy in this? Like, the challenge wasn't to be sexy. Not every drag queen's goal is to be some, like, fucktart, you know? So I think
present
that...
company excluded. Clearly,
leave meeting.
Wow.
This Untucked though is actually better than the episode, because this is packed full of girls.
Yeah.
And fights. Mm-hmm. We see a terrible reveal the first time behind a chair. Tammy goes crazy. Raven just throws in the one-liners, and girl, she got onions, she got, because she's relishing it too. It's a full hot dog.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about this Untucked episode a little bit, because it is such an important episode that is so referenced and so known.
It around is literally about Mimi changing her costume.
Exactly.
I think this is the first time we see such blatant product placement. Oh, yeah, this looks just like my home.
It's Form Decor.
Form Decor, of course.
I think it's Form Decor. Oh, well, it is. It must be Form Decor. Whatever, why not? But then the girls go into the gold bar and they find a little surprise hiding behind the gold bar.
Oh, my God. They were so specific with me. They gave me, like, lines I had to say word for word. They made me practice the lines with them. Okay, so what are you going to say? They're like, we only have one chance to do this right. And I'm like, oh, this is my first time on a set. Like, I don't know who they thought they were dealing with of Mice and Men, because I was not that girl. I just wanted to come out and kiki. I looked really tan. I was tiny. The fuck, marry, kill thing.
You looked really hungry.
Thank you so much. I was wearing Légère. It was one of those days where I could tell everything was already like high tension as soon as the girls got there, and like the minute of downtime that we had where they were like, okay, go over from the bar and go sit on the couch, like that like minute of talking, the girls were like literally no smiles. Like they had been put through it, wrung out, hung up to dry, and I'm not talking about Latrice's pads. Like it was, I felt for those girls immediately and was immediately glad I was not in their shoes.
Yeah.
And then I got caught in a curtain and they all made fun of me. But can we talk about foreshadowing? We play this fuck, marry, kill game. And then all the girls, you know, just to get everybody talking about all the girls, to give an opinion on the girls and things. Yeah. And then Manila says, see you on CSI. And what happened? Literally, in two months later, after we filmed this, I booked CSI.
You booked it?
I did. And
you booked it?
I had been trying to book CSI for literally probably 10 years. I had auditioned for it like 3 or 4 times, and this was like finally the one where I got it. So when Manila said that to me, I was like, bitch, you know I will be on CSI. And then it happened. And I was like, thank God, Manila. But honestly, for once, I can admit that I am not the best part of this episode. I'm like, they cut out all my good stuff. I had a couple of jokes, but like most of the stuff I said was too dirty, I guess. But the best part of this episode is when the girls go into the gold bar and Mimi, it's 9 against 1, obviously, basically.
Yeah, things get really out of control. And I think, like you said, you could tell that tensions were really, really high in that set, because everyone was just sort of like, we thought this was going to be one thing and now it's completely another. So everybody was upset. And so they decided to focus that laser of hatred and doom onto Mimi I'm First.
Well, I'm pretty sure somebody asked about it first. They said, what is the beat? I think it was Manila. Manila literally was the shit stirrer. And, you know, she doesn't mind to be. But or she Juju. Said, was it Juju?
But it wasn't even about the, like, drama that happened in Florida, which was between Alexis Mateo and Mimi I'm First, right?
Wasn't? No, they literally asked about that. What's this drama between you two?
Yes, but then Alexis is like, well, I understand that's business and it's fine. That was the conclusion. Then Raven says, you, Mimi I'm First, were second place in the fan vote. I could not believe it. Third.
It was Sharon, and then I think Pandora, and then
Sharon. Sharon won her season.
Yeah, but that didn't stop people from still voting for her for first.
Okay, nice.
She was first.
Who else?
I think it was Sharon, Pandora, Mimi, or Sharon, Raven, Mimi, somebody like that. Another girl that was already on too. Mimi just feels bullied, and Manila at this point is just telling her like the writing on the wall. You know what you signed up for. You've done this before.
Don't you dare talk about my fans.
And honestly, I don't know if Mimi was number 3 in the voting legit wise, because I have a friend and they definitely hacked World of Wonder's website for the Wowies. When the Wowies were going on, and girl,
are you suggesting that I didn't win my Wowie award fair and square? How dare you? How dare you bring my fans into this?
Well, as far as I know, there's not many of them. I do know that World of Wonder's website is not foolproof at all, because when that person did it, they won that Wowie.
You, Mimi, I'm First. This is one of the most chaotic scenes. And then everyone just starts erupting in laughter. Tammy Brown is talking about how her father fucked Marlena Dietrich. She also says, teleport us to Mars, Teletubby. Change your outfit. Change it around. Mimi, I'm First goes into, Mimi I'm First goes into the corner and takes down her dress and says, now I feel sexy. You want sexy? Well, I'm going to give it to you.
I think that Tammy is edited within an inch of her life and peppered in wherever they need something, which makes it work. But the fact that Chad says to Pandora, like, you need to go get her and get her in. Like,
Chad is heated in the interview chair. Chad's like, if that was my partner, I would have grabbed her by the back of her fucking head. I would have sat her down in that fucking chair and I would have said, bitch, you're gonna fucking lip sync, bitch.
I could never imagine Chad fighting someone. I could never imagine that happening. I personally have pulled my hand down when it was up near a girl's wig at a club and stopped myself from pulling her hair and punching her in the face. I personally stopped myself because I'm like, I want to work at this club again. Sean from Roscoe's knows all about it. I went into his office after and was like, I just need a minute.
Girl,
me and Alyssa.
We
got into it deep because there was a room full of people, and she said that someone did something that they didn't do, and we immediately proved that that person didn't do it, who was in the dressing room with us, and then she wouldn't apologize, and she kept talking shit, so I was like, you know what? I can talk shit, too. And it was, she was 57 minutes late, 3 minutes before the meet and greet she got there, and like, I was filming because I always do BTS or something behind the scenes. And like, as she was walking up the stairs, I was filming. And like, maybe she felt some sort of way. Maybe she was rushed. Maybe I felt, maybe I made her feel some sort of way because of me filming and she felt it was intrusive. I don't know, but we got off on the wrong foot. We're fine now, obviously. We've worked together tons. But like, I had to stop myself from hurting her. And I'm glad I did because it was the right move. It would have been fun, but it wouldn't have been productive. It would have hurt my career choices in the future. As far as Chicago, because I pretty much work only one spot in Chicago. But right. I think Chad's talking a big game. I could never see him fighting or pulling a girl's wig off.
No, not at all. And Pandora, she goes outside. She tries to talk Mimi down and bring her back. And it's sort of, you can tell Pandora's just going through the motions. I think she knows that, like, this is it. There's no way that we're going to come back from this. And they don't. But at least Pandora, she had a classy exit. She took her picture off the wall. She got that beat, and she said, "You know what? If I was here by myself, I would have done better." And fuck them. Sorry. Bye.
Which is cool. I guess they get all the girls to lie to the camera after they get eliminated, which is a new tradition. The Divas this season really know how to make good untucked episodes, but I once again I do feel for Pandora with this, because like, watching her and Mimi confront each other, that was like the same spot that we filmed Drag You, like literally the month before. So like, Pandora went from being like a teacher on this set that people treated nice and she got to be funny to, oh, you're going to be the anchor that's attached to the dead weight.
Right.
And I understand her devastation, honestly, because think of how much money she spent, all that kind of stuff, all the gigs she gave up. Like, I feel for the girl, but she should have tried harder in that lip sync or done something. I don't know.
Well, I have a feeling we haven't seen the last of Pandora Box. She's a legend. She's an institution and just a really like funny, lovely person. And we love you so much, Pandora.
We do.
There are some amazing things going on this week on the Mom Network.
Oh, tell me, Mom. Tell me, Mom.
On Sloppy Seconds, our latest acquisition.
Was that not a merger? It was an acquisition?
Sloppy Seconds. Meatball and Big Dipper discuss wet-ass pussy. Plus, they interview special guest Layla McQueen. It's not Layla. It's Layla.
It's Layla. Girl, did you see Scarlett Bobo? She gave me straight up Layla McQueen of the North this past week.
Scarlett Bobo looks like a no-no. On The Chop with Latrice and Manila, the girls will let you know how they feel when it comes to the judging on Canada's Drag Race.
Feel like a judging.
They are not holding back. Oh, at all.
Girl, have you seen Fifi on Twitter? Her too. She put up a picture of Jeffrey Boyer Chapman, and she said, "What is this? Wrong answers only." And then she wrote a judge. I was like, you?
Damn.
Fifi is not trying to get on All Stars 7 at all.
Well, I have a feeling. You're right.
Do we even call her Fifi anymore? Do we call her Jeremy now out of respect? She changed her Twitter, so.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. But
we shall see.
But we love We love some Jeremy Carey, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you so much for listening. Remember to wear a mask. Encourage everyone you know to wear a mask as well. Wash your hands and stay safe.
Yeah, thank you so much for letting us continue to provide you with award-winning content every week. Mm-hmm. I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And if you rate our podcast and comment about how fantastic it is, we would be super appreciative. And you can subscribe.
Fantastique.
And subscribe to make sure you know when each new episode comes out, because there's so many, many, several many podcasts on the Mom Network now.
Yes, absolutely.
The vertical might go horizontal.
Follow the dolls at Willem, at the Only Alaska 5000, and our Race Chaser podcast is at Race Chaser Pod. And you can use the hashtag Race Chaser whenever you post.
And you can send us a DM or an email at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
Plus, we have some really exciting bonus content available on patreon.com/Willem.
Willem.
And you can find the videos by searching with the hashtag racechaser and pay for the content you want to watch a la carte.
Yeah, don't put it in your purse, Miss Thing. We see you. Bye.
Until next time, my dad fucked Marlena Dietrich. Bye.
Race Chaser.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.